God is good, amen? I'm so glad to see you this morning. Let's just look to Him in prayer. Father, we just praise You again for such a beautiful day. But we praise You this morning again, Father, because we celebrate victory today. Jesus was victorious over death, the grave, the adversary, victorious over sin. And so we just celebrate You today, Lord. We just celebrate You today, Jesus, Messiah, Lord of all. Thank You again for everyone that has come this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as we worship You, as we celebrate You. Speak to our ears. And may we have ears this morning that hear. Not necessarily my voice, but hear from You. Because You've got a word for us. You will speak it to us. You're already speaking to us as we sing praises to You. You're already speaking to our hearts and to our ears, Lord. And I pray that we have ears today that hear and hearts that respond. We've come to worship You, Lord, and say thank You. Thank You for what You've been doing. Thank You for what You did that morning, a couple thousand years ago. The miracles that happened that morning, miracles of earthquakes and angels sitting on stones and Jesus risen from the dead. Thank You for those miracles that morning, Father. We pray for miracles again today. Miracles of rebirth, miracles of transformation, miracles that we burst forth from our own tombs, the tombs of our own making, miracles that we burst forth from those free in Jesus today, here and in churches everywhere around the globe. Father, we pray, Thy will be done. So thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for what You're going to do this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. The resurrected Jesus, the Messiah Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Last week, you remember we asked the question, why did Jesus weep? And we saw from the account in the Gospels that Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they didn't realize He was the Messiah. They saw Him in the flesh and didn't connect with Him as Lord. That's really no different than some today, is it? We know about God. We have this intellectual assent, may even believe in Him, but we never connect with Jesus as Messiah. Friday, we looked at the question, why did they kill Him? And we saw from Isaiah 53 the divine reason. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for our sin, for our transgressions, for our iniquities. And God, and the Bible said, God has laid on Him our iniquities. He was bruised for our soul. We saw, why did they kill Him? And today, as you have seen perhaps in your bulletin, we answer the question, why does it matter? Why does it matter that the tomb is empty? Does it matter to us even in 21st century America are in 21st century worldwide. Does it matter that the tomb was empty that day? And so I realize today that not everybody believes that the tomb was empty. And some would believe if it was, it's because, well, someone stole him away. Or he wasn't dead. Or all those other stories that get told. And I realize that not everybody subscribes to the resurrection of the dead by Jesus the Christ. But I'm here to ask you today, friends, do you believe it? Do you believe that God incarnate, Jesus the Christ, came and died and shed His blood for our sin and rose again? I'm asking us today, do we believe that? Because a lot of folks don't. And then there's a category that says, yeah, preacher, I think I might even believe in that, but don't live like it. We're still living like He's still in the tomb. This idea, excuse me, of resurrection from the dead is not unlike what we talked about at Christmas when we talked about this core truth of the virgin birth. Nah, that didn't happen, people say today. Resurrection from the dead? Nah, that didn't happen either. This notion of God in the flesh rising from the dead is part of who we are. It's part of our faith equation. And I just wonder, friends, today, do we believe it? Do we live like He's resurrected from the tomb, or do we live like He's still in the grave? And so, may I invite you to 1 Corinthians. I love the stories in the Gospels. Every one of them talks about this death and resurrection. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all talk about it. I love the stories there. I'll refer to them briefly. But I want to take us to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15. This is the Apostle Paul. And so I'd invite you to turn there to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to share some verses between 1 and 20. May I say too, thank you, men who served breakfast this morning. I hope if some of you had a chance to have some of that breakfast, I hope you enjoyed your time of fellowship. Thank you, Randy, and others who made these little wooden crosses. There's a basket full of them out there, and they're for you. So you go ahead and take a cross or two till they're gone. If they're not all gone, you didn't take enough. And so go ahead and take some little wooden crosses. Some of our folks that are here today have made them for you. There's some brochures out there, little bulletins and little tracts, anything out there laying on them tables. Other than the sign-up sheets to work, everything else is for you to take. And so you please take a look at that and see them things on your way out today. Paul's words to the letter at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, says this, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, and which also you stand." He was talking to the church. He was talking to people that have put their faith in Christ. He was talking about the gospel message. And he's going to spell that out here in just a moment. But he's saying, let me remind you of the good news. Brothers and sisters, are you aware today there's still good news? Amen? I know it's warm and I know you're a little drowsy, but work with me here. Are we still aware there is good news? Jesus is the good news. The gospel of Jesus, the whole story that revolves around Jesus is the good news. Verse 3. Paul continues to write to the church. For I handed on to you, as of first importance that I in turn had received. And here's what he's saying. I pass this on to you. Jesus Christ died for our sin in accordance to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. Jesus died for our sin. You say, Jim, I don't like to talk about sin. I don't like to think about sin. Guess what, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors? The Bible says, for all have sinned. Jim and the next pastor and the next priest, and all have sinned, and we're fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus died for our sins, brothers and sisters, so we don't have to die in our sin. I say, hallelujah. And Paul reminds them, first and foremost, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Otherwise, we're going to die in our sins, and we're going to be lost forever. And we need to recognize today, friends, that Jesus died for our sins. He took upon Himself when He died on that cross our sin. Mine, yours, ours. And Paul says, I remind you today that Christ died for our sin, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, to Peter, then to the 12. And He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most, Paul says, of whom are still alive, though some have died. Recognize Paul is writing this some 20 years or so later. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. Do you remember the Damascus Road story? Let me see your hands. Work with me this morning. You ain't sleeping on me yet, are you? The Damascus Road story when Paul met Jesus. Paul wasn't the original 12. Paul couldn't stand the name of Jesus. He persecuted people for the name of Jesus. He killed people. He put them in prison because he thought, what is with this Jesus? And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. When he says, last of all, He appeared to me, one untimely born. He appeared to me, Paul. And Paul later calls himself chief among sinners, and he recognized on the road to Damascus that day, Jesus is real and Jesus is alive. And that's why he writes what he writes here. I write to you and I remind you that He's real. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? He was speaking to the church at Corinth. And he's still speaking to the churches today, friends. Because there's still folks. Doesn't matter what surveys you look at. I like to look at surveys. I like to see how people think. And it doesn't matter what survey you look at today. People sitting in church today still deny the resurrection of Jesus from the tomb. Paul was writing to them at that time because some of them didn't grasp it either. Verse 12, it says, again, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? 13, and if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If we're going around thinking and acting and living like and proclaiming there's no resurrection from the dead, even in the church, Paul said, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified of God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. And I know there's a lot of words there, and there's a play on words, but simply put, Paul is saying, some of you are subscribing, there is no resurrection. And he says, we've been proclaiming to you all this truth, but if what we've been proclaiming to you, and there is no resurrection, it's just a lie. And your faith is, well, it's in vain. For 16, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. For if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. The New Revised Standard Version says, and the King James and the New King James said, we are of all men most miserable. If our hope is only for a Jesus, a besandaled Nazarene that walked around the dusty streets of Galilee and Jerusalem, and he died and was gone, our hope is in Christ, and our faith in him is useless. Paul says, if for this life only we had hoped in Christ, we are just a miserable lot. If that's all the farther our hope and faith goes. Verse 20. But in fact, Paul writes, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. How did he know it? Because he met him on the Damascus Road. But in fact, Paul writes, Christ has been raised from the dead. And I'm here to ask you this morning, friends, a couple of things. Is the tomb empty because Christ rose from the dead in your faith equation? Because if it's not empty because he raised from the dead, if it's empty because someone stole him, our faith equation is missing an all-important part. Many would say that the tomb is empty because it was staged. You know that, right? You read Matthew? Anybody read the Gospel accounts lately? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We know what the Gospels are, right? Every one of them's got a story about Jesus dying on the cross. Every one of them's got a story about the stone being rolled away. If you haven't read those stories, brothers and sisters, let me encourage you, grab the good book and read them today. These are stories that should be celebrated. These are not just some old book to be on the shelf. We need to get in the Word of God and be reminded of the story of Jesus and who He is and what He did. And we need to be reminded that the tomb is empty, not because someone stole His body, like they said in Matthew 27 and 28, but because He was risen from the dead. We need to know those stories, brothers and sisters. And if you haven't picked those stories up lately, I encourage you to pick them up today and read those stories. Because some people, when you read about Matthew, and it has gone all the way from the time of Matthew in Matthew 27 and 28 until today, some people think it was staged. The disciples just stole the body. Matthew goes into great detail in those two chapters of 27 and 28 of what really happened and how the chief priests were willing to pay the soldiers large sums of money, the Bible says. Those same soldiers that were guarding the tomb, large sums of money to tell people that the body was stolen by the disciples. Hello? That doesn't compute. armed guards guarding the tomb and tell people these terrified peasant fishermen stole the body? You remember the story of Matthew, don't you? Earthquakes. Angels sitting on stones. You remember the story? Soldiers falling as dead men because of the terror, of the fright that ran through them with the angel appearing and the earthquake and the stone rolling away and Jesus emerging alive. The Bible says, and the soldiers fell as dead men. That's in Matthew 27:8. And then the chief priests and the religious leaders trying to pay them to say someone stole him. He wasn't stolen. Can I get a witness? He wasn't stolen. He walked out of the tomb. That's why all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them remind us the stone was rolled away because he walked out of the tomb that resurrection morning. Y'all have had too much breakfast. You're a little sluggish this morning. Amen. Amen. And we have to recognize, brothers and sisters, the tomb is empty because he got up and walked out just like he said he would. That's why the tomb is empty. And that needs to be part of our faith equation. Or are we like Thomas that night? I'm not discounting Thomas here. I'm just bringing up Thomas because he's the one that said this. This story is in John 20. And Jesus appeared to the disciples that night, the Bible says. But Thomas wasn't there. And they said to Thomas, as soon as they saw him, "He's alive! We have seen him!" They were excited about it. And Thomas said, "Unless I see him and put my fingers in the nail prints of his hand, I will not believe he has risen from the dead." Some of us are the same way. We say, "Oh, that nasty old doubting Thomas." We label him doubting Thomas. And we're the same way. We're not even sure the resurrection of the dead happened. And maybe even if perchance we subscribe to it, it did happen, we don't live like it happened. And 1 week later, in John 20, and the story goes on, 1 week later, Jesus stood in their midst again. And he said, "Thomas, come see. Put your fingers in the nail prints." And Thomas simply said, "My Lord and my God." Did Jesus really rise from the dead and appear to people? That's what Paul said. Do we believe it? Thomas didn't until he saw him. You remember the two? They were also called disciples in the story in Luke 24. Remember the two that had been in the midst of the disciples and they were walking back to Emmaus? They were walking back to Emmaus because it was, after all, the first day of the week. The Sabbath was over, so they could now walk a good distance. And they were walking back to Emmaus, the Bible says, and they're walking and talking and their heads were downcast and they were probably shaking their heads and they're probably wringing their hands and saying, "What has just happened?" You remember the two? Luke 24. And you remember in that story that they're walking back to Emmaus, dejected and forlorn and sad and brokenhearted. And Jesus enters into the equation with them. They didn't recognize it as Jesus. Sometimes we don't recognize him when he's trying to work in our lives. And he's walking this road to Emmaus with these disciples. And they're talking about how dejected they were and talking about these things. And Jesus said, "What things?" And they turned to him and didn't recognize he was Jesus. But they say, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened? Our chief priest put him to death. Are you the only one that doesn't get this story? And he continued to walk with them on the road to Emmaus until they got to their place that night. En route, their hearts said this. Their mouths said this. We had hoped that it was He who would redeem Israel. Is that where our faith level is today? We had kind of hoped it was Him, but I guess it ain't. I guess it wasn't Him after all. Is that where our faith is at? Skeptical. Well, I thought some of the Bible was real, but I guess I can't subscribe to all of it. Well, I thought there was a Messiah. I thought He was the one. And matter of fact, we had seen Him and we had really hoped it was He who would redeem Israel. That's their faith that day. And some of our faith isn't any different. And when they were about to break bread with Jesus in Emmaus, the Bible says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew it was Jesus. And they literally ran back the several miles to Jerusalem. And do you know what they said then? The Lord has risen indeed. They knew it. They knew it because they had seen Him. And sometimes we're just like Thomas and the disciples in the road to Emmaus. I haven't seen Him working in my life, and so I'm not going to believe it. I haven't seen Him done me no favors. I'm not going to believe it. Sometimes we are the same way. And I'm asking us today, friends, did Jesus rise from the dead and appear to many? Because if that's not part of our faith equation, we're missing part of our faith equation. And so let me just say this, a couple of more things. I know there's people that don't subscribe to the resurrection. I know there's people sitting in churches that don't. I know that. I know there's folks that are agnostic. Figured, you know what? He might be real, but he ain't really relevant to me. There's folks that are atheist and say, I don't think any of it's true. But friends, what matters today is, what do you think? You've got to decide. You've got to decide if He's real. What matters today, brothers and sisters, is you have to decide if the tomb is empty because He said it was going to be, because He rose from the dead, because He died on that cross the night, two, three nights before, for our sin, and He rose from the dead. We have to decide, you as an individual, I as an individual, the next atheist, the next agnostic, has to decide, is He real? Is it real? Do I put my faith in Him, or do I just go on about life and take my chances? You have to decide today, brothers and sisters, is the tomb empty for you? Let me tell you quickly why I think it's real. I believe the tomb is empty because He rose from the dead, not because He was stolen. I believe it's empty because He said it would be empty. Okay? You with me? Remember when He said, I think it's in John 3. I think it's in John 3 when He refers to the Jonah in the whale's belly. And He said to Nicodemus in John 3, just as Jonah was in the whale of the belly for 3 days, so must the Son of Man be in the ground for 3 days, and then He would rise again. I believe the tomb was empty, and He rose from the dead by walking out because He said it was going to be empty. I believe, secondly, in this statement that Paul said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then everything Paul says, everything that I've told you, and it's the same for me and the next pastor and priest, Everything we're telling you is rubbish if Jesus is not raised from the dead. You see what he said? If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain. And your faith is in vain if Jesus is not raised from the dead. We may as well sit home on Sunday morning and watch TV. That's what he said. Didn't have TVs then, but that's what he said. I believe it was empty because of that statement of Paul. I don't think what I'm proclaiming to you is a waste of my proclaiming. I don't think if you've trusted Christ as Lord, you have trusted Him in vain. I think it's real. I think this book is real. And I think some point in our lives, we've got to ask ourselves, does it apply to me? And lastly, thirdly, why I think it's real. Say it again. I was taking a drink. It's written. Absolutely. And here's part of what's written. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. I asked the earlier service because I've been thinking about this week, this statement this week. How many want to stand before God, assuming you subscribe to God, assuming you're not atheist this morning, how many want to stand before God on Judgment Day still in your sin? Anybody? I don't either. I don't either. That's why Jesus came. So we wouldn't have to go through this pathway in life and die still in our sin. And Paul says this very, very bold statement here in this letter to the Corinthians. If Jesus Christ has not been raised, your faith is a waste of time and we are still in our sin. I don't want to stand before the throne of God in my sin. And I don't have to because Jesus went to that cross at Calvary and He shed His blood so that you and I and everybody else could be washed white as snow. No sin. Amen? Let me conclude with this. Our time is up. I realize that people don't necessarily subscribe to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb that day. I realize that. I believe the Bible is real. I believe the tomb was empty. I believe the stone was rolled away. I believe Jesus rose from the dead because He said He would. Old and New Testament. And friends, today you might be here and you haven't quite decided if I believe that or not. There are people in churches today. I'm so thankful for you all. I'm so thankful that you're here. But there are churches all over this great nation today that may believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ but are still living like it doesn't matter. Are you still with me? We may even believe that He was born of a virgin. He walked Galilee and Jerusalem areas for 3 years. He raised others. We may even believe that He was raised from the dead, but we're living like it don't matter. We're living like it doesn't matter because we haven't surrendered to Him as Lord. And so I'm going to quote, I forget who the author of this statement was, but I'm going to quote from him and challenge you with the same statement of long ago. Is he liar, lunatic, or Lord? You've got to decide. In their day, there was people that thought, nah, he's just a liar. In their day, the Pharisees thought he was a madman, lunatic, out to lunch, claiming to be the Son of God. And they had the Romans crucify him for it. They thought he was a lunatic. The same three categories existed then as exist today. Friends, you have to decide. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. You have to decide, is he liar, lunatic, or Lord? And if you suggest that he is Lord, then let him be Lord of all. Because if he is not Lord of all in my life or yours, he's probably not Lord at all. Jessica, come on up here. We're going to sing. Friends, I believe that Jesus died on that cross so that people, you and I, might live. But the only way we're going to live eternally is to surrender to this whole idea that he died on the cross for our sin and he rose again. The only way we're going to live eternally is if we receive him as Lord. John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe in his name. The equation is, we believe it, we receive it, we become children of God. But until we have become children of God, we're still in our sin. And if we're still in our sin and we die today, we're not ready for heaven. That's the tragic reality. That's not the gospel according to Jim. That's the gospel according to Jesus. We got about so much time. You don't know how much you got. I don't know how much I got. The person in the accident out north of town yesterday didn't know how much time they had either. But I'll tell you this, friends. If you get right with God through faith in Jesus, it don't matter. Because we're going to go home to be with Jesus. But if your faith equation hasn't surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord, risen from the dead, died on the cross, shed his blood for our sin, then do it today. Another day may be too late. You say, Jim, I'm a little embarrassed to have anybody see me raise my hand or come to the altar for prayer or anything else. I'll tell you what's embarrassing, friends. Getting to judgment and standing before the throne of God and hearing the words, I don't know you. Depart from me into everlasting punishment. You think trusting Jesus Christ as Lord is embarrassing? He's the Savior of the world. He loved us so much, he gave his blood and his life for us. So that we would live, not just to go about life and say, yeah, Jim, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, Jim, I ain't as bad as that one. Yeah, Jim, I think I got an intellectual assent. I think I believe in God. We got to be born again if we're going to be with him in heaven forever. That's Jesus' words. We've got to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. We've got to subscribe to this whole idea of him being Messiah. Without him, we're on our own. We're on our own. And if our life is over today, we're going to stand before God at the great white throne of judgment. You're going to read about that in Revelation. All alone. Because we never surrendered to Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the resurrected Jesus. I don't know where you're at today, friends, but I would ask, have you trusted him as Lord, and is he Lord of all? We're going to sing a song. I can't sing it. I can't lead it. My throat is shot. But we're going to sing it anyway. It's in your hymn books on 203, and it'll be on the big screen. And I want you to pay a particular attention to verse 3. Because if you haven't had the chains fall off, if you have not been set free in Jesus Christ today, I want you to listen to God, because I know He's speaking to some of us today. I want you to listen to Him and say yes to the Heavenly Father and say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord. You come down here and I'll pray with you. You kneel here. Pastor Les is here. We'll pray with you. Or you just pray right where you're at, but you say yes to Jesus today. Another day, it might be too late. Don't listen to the devil that says you got a lot of time. You're only 20. You're only 30. You're only 40. You're only 50. You listen to the voice of God that's saying, I love you. I'm knocking on your heart's door. And if you open up, I'm going to come in. And I'm going to fellowship with you. And I'm going to save you. And I'm going to take you home to be with me forever. You listen to that voice, because it's speaking to somebody today. Pastor Les, would you be willing to come up here? Pastor Isaac, while we're singing this song, friends, if God is speaking to you today, you come pray with one of these brothers and you have the chains fall off and be set free in Jesus today. And if you're here today and the Lord is speaking to your heart, and you want to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you know you need to. You know you're not where you need to be. You know if you died tonight, you'd be gambling with eternity. Friends, if you're here today and your heart is in turmoil because you're not walking with Jesus, you've not been born again, and want to be, slip your hand up and down. God knows your heart. Slip your hand up and then put it down. Acknowledge that you want to trust Christ as Lord, and I'll lead you in a prayer. I'll lead us all in a prayer. Acknowledge today you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and Jesus is the only one. Have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life like others have today. Slip your hand up and down and acknowledge, I need Jesus. Thank you. Put them down. Thank you. Anybody else? Your heart knows God is speaking to you. Your ears hear Him. Now your heart's got to say yes. If He's speaking to you today, friends, just pray along with me. God hears your prayer. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for the death on the cross, the blood that was shed. Thank you for the empty tomb because Jesus rose from the dead, all for me. I acknowledge, Heavenly Father, my need of a Savior. I acknowledge, Heavenly Father, I too am a sinner who needs a Savior. And I invite Jesus to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Take over. Redeem me. I want to choose today to follow Jesus. I want to sing this song that we just sung. My chains fell off. I have been set free. And so, Father God, I pray for these today that have raised their hand and come forward. And those that did earlier, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would comfort them in such a comforting, warm embrace that they just know that they know that they know they're a child of God. Because their faith, because of your grace, because of what Jesus did, and their faith. And Father, for those that are still wrestling today, I'm not sure, Jim. I'm not sure, God. I'm not sure about all this. Father, for those that are still struggling, those that are still wrestling, those that are still wondering, oh God in heaven, help them to feel your love. Help them to know you're real. Help them to know you love them. Help them to know that Jesus' death was for them, us and them and everybody else. Help them to know today is the day of salvation. And Father, I just pray today, even after we dismiss, if they want to come forward and pray with Pastor Les or, or Isaac, or they just want to spend some time at the altar crying out to you, I pray today is their day of salvation. Thank you again, Father, for Easter. Thank you for the empty tomb, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you for your blood that washes away our sin. Thank you for this holy of holy days. Thank you, Father, we can be your child, and we've got a mansion in glory when we come to know you as Lord. Thank you for so many things. Thank you for these people. Help them to have a great day. Help them to have a special day with their family. And Father, some are going to have a special day because they're going to get their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. Thank you for them. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.